Now, on Bulldog Live, it's Second Amendment Tuesday. Joining Bulldog is attorney Penny Dean.
1-866-823-1077. Even though many of you are ready for a vacation for the Christmas holiday, the Second Amendment takes no holiday, and the government certainly doesn't either. We'll talk about it next.
Now, I know the Constitution, and it gives me certain rights that I will never, ever give up. At least not without a fight. So if anybody's even thinking they're gonna take my guns away, like the good old boys down in Gonzales, I got one thing to say. Come on, make my day.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time.
1-866-823-1077 is our toll-free phone number from everywhere. You can join Second Amendment Tuesdays with attorney Penny Dean for any questions about your gun rights. Penny, how are you today?
Well, it's a sad day in the capital city. we're fighting.
Which capital? Are you talking Concord or D.C.? Because we're fighting all kinds of nonsense.
Both places.
Oh, okay. Yes. Absurdistan.
Yeah, it's a sad place there, too. I'll tell you what, is whenever I think the sneaky deekies can't think of another sneaky thing, they think of the sneakier things. What's your definition of an emergency?
Let's see. The world is falling apart around us, and nobody can move anywhere, and we got to be able to clear up like a propane tank spill on the interstate. You know, that kind of thing.
That's exactly it. Well, ATF's version of emergency, or actually the Department of Justice's version of an emergency, is a little bit different than mine.
Oh, okay.
They have a little bit different criteria. And your criteria is right. Like when the house is burning, you got to grab the baby and the dogs and the kids and get out. That's an emergency. Okay.
Sure is.
You know, those are emergencies. The Department of Justice, Office of Justice Programs, have an emergency. And they've told the Office of Management and Budget that they want to now start collecting multiple purchase information for long guns. And basically what they're saying is right now, and this is something a lot of your listeners may not know and they should know, that there has been a federal form in place forever. It's called an ATF Form 3310.4, and it's called a Report of Multiple Sales or Other Disposition of Pistols and Revolvers. And here's what happens. And your gun dealer might not tell you this, and you should know this. If you purchase two or more handguns, meaning anything that's a pistol, revolver, handgun, within 5 consecutive business days, your federal firearms dealer is required to fill out this long special form, which gets sent to the state police, and in many cases, your chief of police, which is de facto gun registration. And on this form, it gives every bit of information about you. It tells the dates transferred, the specific type of pistol revolver, the serial number, the manufacturer, the importer, the model, the caliber. It has your last name or your full name, your address, your sex, your race, your date of birth, your place of birth, your type of ID, and we could go on and on and on.
Huh.
And that information, which is not officially, quote-unquote, subject to the federal law that says the ATF can't compile a national database of gun owners, gets sent to the New Hampshire State Police in New Hampshire. And being the kind fellows that they are sometimes, they are usually inclined to pass along to your chief of police.
Hmm.
So that your chief of police can compile a database on you with all the make, model, and serial number of all the handguns you've ever purchased.
Ever purchased or just those two within
two
a five-day period?
In other words, ever purchased two at a time.
So let's say I go in and buy a Beretta, and then I also buy a Colt, both on the same day.
Yep.
I would be reported under this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And a lot of people don't know that they are. Or if you do it within 5 consecutive business days. And most gun stores are open 7 days a week, so it means really calendar days.
Okay.
So I literally, if I were to buy two firearms, two handguns, what I'd say is, you know what, I'll buy this one this week and this one next week. Hold it for me.
Sure.
Yeah, because there's no reason to buy two at the same time or within five consecutive business days, because they are required by federal law to fill out this form. This isn't something you can say, hey, please don't fill out the form on me. They have to. You know, and they do. They comply with the law.
It's kind of like that Bank Secrecy Act. If you engage in a transaction, cash transaction over $10,000, they're filling out a form on your butt.
That's exactly right. And they don't ask you. They don't consult with you. Because if they tell you in advance, you'd
they go, can't
you know,
tell you.
That's exactly my point. They can't tell you. And so if you knew about it, you'd go, you know what? I'll take out $5,000 today and $5,000 on Friday. Or whatever your plans are, you would quite frankly say, I don't want to be subject to this requirement, which really to me is a red flag test. You know what I mean? It waves the red flag in front of the boldest, because the government has arbitrarily decided that those are secret or bad things. Anybody that has $10,000 or more in cash must be going to do something really bad with it.
Right, right, exactly. Or if they're pulled over on the side of the road and get searched and find out that they have $5,000 in cash, and they start asking you a question, oh, what are you carrying around all this cash for? You must be a drug runner.
That's exactly right, and that's why they put, you know, those little magnetic strips that makes your money detectable. A lot of people don't realize that. Hold your money up to the light. You'll see a real thin strip. It's like a piece of nylon running through all your bills on one end. And that's so they can track you going through detectors at airports and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I tell people, if you have really old money, you won't see it in it. But any relatively newer money has those strips. And to just carry on with the BATF emergency request, they are asking for authority to track semi-automatic rifle sales. And what they want to do is do the same data collection when a person purchases two or more semi-autos within five business days of each other or at the same time. They want
22 caliber or larger.
Yep,
let's be specific. Yeah,
absolutely. With detachable magazines, because, you know, detachable magazines are pretty scary things. They can be really big. And so they think that, you know, I mean, my little Ruger 10/22 is now on the list, right?
Now, I know. I was just thinking of one. It's like, yeah, a guy that I go shooting with, yeah, he's got one of these that fits right in. Oh, boy.
Yeah. and that's the bottom line. And the Ruger 10/22 is probably the most popular Ruger semi or popular 22 semi-auto around. I don't know how many bazillions of those they've made and sold. They're wonderful guns, you know, especially for your child's first gun. It's one of the perfect guns, you know, and so it's just a cool firearm. And so the bottom line is, according to the ATF, there's about 8,500 firearms dealers along the border with Mexico, let alone the rest of the country. So because they believe, even though there's absolutely no evidence, and actually the evidence is to the contrary, that there's this huge problem with people running illegal guns into Mexico, or rather legal dealers funneling the illegal guns into Mexico, they want to punish what I call the rest of the country. Because this will apply not just to those 8,500 firearms dealers along the border with Mexico, but to all dealers in the country.
Yeah, and as a story that I posted on my website, briantilton.com, just a couple days ago, the story quotes the Washington Post suggesting that the reporting mandate would be limited to retailers along the southwest border. However, the Federal Register notice does not limit the geographic scope of the reporting requirement. And Penny, to confirm your suspicions, as this story continues, this ATF emergency mandate was originally pushed by the Anti-Gun Mayors Against Illegal Guns Coalition, headed by New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg, more than a year and a half ago.
A year and a half? God, that's an emergency. Emergency. You know,
so this is what the emergency is, folks, for anybody who's like, well, it's just a little reporting requirement. It doesn't really stop you from buying the gun. So what rights are inhibited?
The first step, at least in many areas, including Chicago, it's happened in the United States and other areas, to confiscation is registration. And information collection is essentially registration. Now, here's the good news. The ATF has a comment period. And typically, a lot of what I call the good senators and the good reps look at whether or not the ATF gets comments. And so I would strongly encourage everyone to go to your website or mine and find the address and comment and say, look, we don't need this stuff. We don't need this government intrusion. We don't need all of these things happening. And I think that's an important thing for people to look at, because let me tell you what's been very sad with me. In my lifetime, whenever administrative rules are being promulgated, at least in New Hampshire and in other places, do you know how many people typically show up for an administrative rule promulgation hearing?
Two.
Zero. I remember
Okay. I was off the mark quite a bit.
Or one. You know, the bottom line is, let me tell you what I remember a long time ago. They post these in places like maybe the state police barracks or DMV, so no one actually ever sees them, okay? Unless you're in there and looking, if you're bored as heck and looking at the little notices on the wall, which no one does. I really think they should be required in this society to publish them on the web. You know, they have websites. They should publish them there in an easily accessible place so people realize about them. And I can tell you what was happening years ago, not that many years ago, maybe five or six if my memory serves me correctly. There was going to be some administrative rule changes in New Hampshire to the non-resident pistol revolver licensing procedure. And so anyway, I just happened to see the notice, and I went, wow, I never would have seen this notice if I wasn't at DMV for a case.
Huh.
So I happened to say, you know what, I'm going to go to this hearing. And so let me tell you what happened, and this is really kind of funny but very sad. They're required by law to do this particular procedure, which is they post the date and time of the hearing, let's say 10 o'clock on Tuesday, right? And so they have a person in the room with their little book saying, you know, I'm Sally Lou from the Department of blah, 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 and we're opening the hearing on blah, blah, blah. Anyone here would like to comment? Of course, there's no one in the room, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, no opposition being held to the regulation. It shall be duly enacted, which is technically correct. There was no objection there. And I was, of course, penny late, which is, you know, a couple minutes late. And I run in, and they said, well, we just closed the hearing. And I said, there's nobody here. You can please, to goodness, open the hearing again. Let me speak my piece and put in my testimony so that we at least have what I call one lone voice in the wilderness.
Hey, note to the legislature. Here's another suggestion from Bulldog, and this costs absolutely nothing. Consider this a public service. Once again, Bulldog giving a suggestion to the legislature. It should cost nobody any money. When you have a public hearing, and on rules hearings particularly, leave the public comment period open for a certain period of time. Let's say the hearing starts at 1 o'clock. Have a minimum of 30 minutes available for public comment for anybody who might happen to be late. Thank you very much. End of suggestion.
Would that work, Penny?
That
would be perfect, but here's what's more important, okay? When all these state agencies are making these administrative rules, which really have the force of law, and they're incredibly important, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Could we possibly post it on the internet rather than just putting a sign in a hallway that no one goes down?
The New Hampshire legislature has been making good strides in the last few years at posting things online. However, the Joint Legislative Committee for Administrative Rules, which is usually the last step for any kind of a regulation, they could use some improvement in that regard. But here, let's go back to this alcohol, tobacco, and firearms to prove your point.
Yes.
Here it is, this emergency rulemaking thing. It's in the Federal Register, Volume 75, Number 242, dated Friday, December 17th, under notices. And tell me where anybody's going to know where to look on this thing.
Well, not only that, let me put it to this way. Here is, unless someone can read what I call legalese and ATFEs, okay? This, would you agree with me, it's an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper, triple column, probably 11-point font.
Yep.
And it has nothing that a reasonable person can discern what it's doing. It doesn't make it clear to the reasonable person, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah, because it says here, I'll just start with the first two paragraphs. Overview of this information collection, type of information collection, revision of a currently approved collection, title of form collection, application and permit for importation of firearms, ammunition, and implements of war. So people look at this saying, what the heck are they talking about?
Yeah. No one thinks they're talking about collecting this type of data on their Ruger 1022. No one does. And to continue, agency form number, if any, and the applicable component of the Department of Justice sponsoring the collection, form number ATF 6, Part 2, 53303B, Bureau of ATF. Well,
I'm lost.
Right, right. The average person, let me put it to this way, like, ATF Form 4s and Form 4473, some of them have internal numbers that even I can't remember. I look up and I go, okay, you know, this is this number, and from what year. And, you know, the average person just rolls their eyes, they glaze over, and they go, what are they talking about? And then it takes someone like us to say, look, this is what they actually intend to do. And they go, why didn't they say it in plain English there? Well, that's because people wouldn't like it, you know. And at the bottom it says billing code 4810-FY-P. What the heck does that mean?
I know. I was looking. I noticed that one too. Well, anyway, here's where people need to look, Penny, if they're interested in this. Go down to my December 17th posting on BrianTilton.com. ATF to require multiple sales reports for long guns. In there is the story, and you know, which summarizes quite succinctly what they're trying to do. And inside that story is a link to this Federal Register notice that we're talking about right now. In that Federal Register notice of one page, which is totally indecipherable to the average person, is a contact name and address for people to, it says if additional information is required, but do they say if you are opposed to this or wish to comment on the virtues or speak in opposition, where to send it to? I don't see that.
No, that's because the presumption is people are not going to. And so the whole thing is what we have is the Bureau of ATF 99. New York Avenue, Northeast Washington, D.C., and Barbara Terrell at ATF Government Firearms Industry Programs Branch. And what I tell people is they need to CC their U.S. Senator and their U.S. Representative when they do things like this and say, U.S. Rep and U.S. Senator, please check into this and report back to me, because that's the number one thing that people need to do when they're writing letters to any elected official. Not only to do that, but say, please check into this and report back to me. Let them know that you're going to hold them accountable, that you expect them to give you the courtesy of a reply telling you, A, they've checked into it, and B, to tell you what they found.
Actually, I did find that. Barbara Terrell, you're correct. That's where the comments, suggestions, or questions regarding additional information and to include obtaining a copy of the proposed information. And they even go one step further. That is in the middle column on this page. And then they talk about the 4 points that they want you to specifically address, because unfortunately, when it comes to rules hearings, they only want you to address the rules that are at hand and not just simply, well, don't pass this. And they'll sit there and say, yeah. But here's the thing. Anybody who wants to question these rules, here's what they need to do. Ask the ATF, where is their authority to implement these kinds of rules? Because they don't state in here what their authority is to do this.
And I think here's what's more important. It doesn't say here about objections. It says comments, suggestions, or questions.
That's true.
Okay. So that implicitly suggests that objecting is a waste of your time.
Yes, it does.
Don't you think so? I mean,
Penny, I have been to I don't know how many rules hearings, both in this state, other states, as well as you know, federal issues, and I can tell you, they do not take kindly to anybody who objects to these things. They really don't. So they don't even want to hear it. You will be dismissed. They will say, "We only want to talk about the specific rule. What's your problem?" Throw it out. We can't do that, they'll say. And then they'll end your public comment session. Ask Tom Thompson how that went with the LLC tax. I've got the recording. I've got the audio of that from the Joint Legislative Committee on Administrative Rules. Thank goodness most of those people are gone. But anyway, got to take a timeout right here, Penny. 1-866-823-1077 is our phone number here on Bulldog Live on the Pulse with Second Amendment Tuesdays and attorney Penny Dean.
Bulldog Live will continue after these messages live on the Pulse.